Okay, welcome to FMLFBL. I'm Alon.
This is Walsh.
Let's jump right in with some housekeeping. Please go ahead and give us a rate and a review on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at FMLFBL. Email in any Rate My Teams or other questions to FMLFBL@gmail.com. Check out our website, FMLFBL.com. We have league info, links to our team, social media, store with stickers and ringtones. Also on our website, we post lineup lamentations every Friday. We pick our starting 11s and captains. And via our friend at FBL Discovery, we also added some useful stats. Lastly, let's shout out the top of the FMLFBL table. New guy on the scene, Han Singh, keeps his place top of the table, even with huge push from Matthew Chang, a.k.a. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Star Wars. Still don't understand it.
Oh, man. I'm in on Star Wars.
Really?
Yeah, I never was. As a kid, I like never gave a fuck about it. And then when a new one came out, I was like, all right, I'll watch all the old ones and check it out. And it was fantastic.
Wow. I never gave a fuck about it and still don't give a fuck about it.
That's fair enough. At least you're still on the first page of the FMLFBL table, so
yeah, you're doing something wobble. Right. Small wobble down to 30th in the FMLFBL table, but I'll take that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's still great to see you up there. I feel like neither of us have like ever been up there.
I mean, page one is not easy to crack. We have like 1 million people in our league, I feel like.
And the league is really fucking good.
Yeah.
They're like, you go up overall sometimes and down in the FMLFBL league.
Yeah, that has happened.
So, how'd you do? You said you had a little wobble.
Yeah, I mean, I finished up with 50. I only went down 1K. I'm at 16K now. So it felt like I kind of got out of jail. I captained Firmino. My transfer was really good. I did Mane to Coutinho. God.
Soon.
And then, I mean, you know, I kept Kun. He did well. Lukaku and his farewell game got one-pointer. He's a nightmare. Walcott's 9 was nice, even though he was just bad the whole game again. I got Klein and Van Dijk returns in a BAP each, which was nice. And I was running with 9 men this week with zeros from Fox and Holes. That's good, Fox and Holes.
Yeah, I like that, actually.
I mean, Gundo got a 0. I had 4 guys on my 15. No. 5 guys of my 15 got 0 points. Goalie, Gundo, that's good. My team's good.
It's a lot of goose eggs for one team.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, you know, people captain Kun, I guess, a couple of them. And then other than that, it was really like Alexis captainers who had big weeks. But other than that, at 50, I felt like I was pretty much in the middle of the pack. And I didn't have too bad of a red arrow with yet another captain blank, which always feels good. So looking to try and build. But yeah, I mean, the Mane to Coutinho, that was just really bad because probably would have captain Mane, would have gotten me 12. Coutinho's 1.
Like, yeah, but it was transfer. So unpredictable, unlucky bullshit.
Yeah, it's an injury. I mean, it was an injury. You can't predict injuries. It just didn't work out for me, but it just sucks to have just bought him. He gave me like 10 minutes of joy, and then he died. But
yeah.
That's life, and that's the game. So 50 points. And yeah, 16K, that's still fine.
Yeah, very like you said, getting blank captain and all those zeros and shit and just not really going down is all you can ask for.
Yeah, I mean, the Walcott 9 was big because that was big. Those are big differential points up in where I'm ranked, I think, in the 5-digit ranks and yeah, the 10K.
The top 10K average after hits was 46.4. So you beat that a little bit. Like a lot of people had way worse off weeks. That tells you that.
But then that's what we were miff. I was big time miff was the second Alexis goal. We're talking about it. It was probably about, you know, 2K. I would have had a green hour for sure if that didn't happen. But it did, and fuck me.
Yeah, Alexis is destroying us.
How did you do?
I got a little green. Feels
did you,
feels
did
fucking
you
amazing.
Have a little teary-eyed moment when you saw the green arrow on Sunday?
Oh, my God. I just felt so loved by the universe.
Because you were fucking going crazy on Sunday that you think you had the worst week ever, and I was trying to talk you off the ledge because you got President Grant. Like, you got good points on Sunday.
Yeah, I got some good points. I guess I just overreacted because I mean, like you and so many other people, I had like a lot of bad things happen this week. Captain Blank Firmino. I also had Coutinho, Holabasiro. You know, it just it feels bad.
Yeah.
But no, as you said, I mean, I went up a little bit, up to 83K. Game week rank was still terrible. It was like 1.5 million. But like I mentioned before, the top 10 average was so bad. It was a lot of like fucks who still have like, I don't know, Zlatan and shit, who probably had massive weeks. But yeah, I mean, Lee Grant, 7-pointer. I got to start with Lee Grant because he's just been such a fixture force and a friend since I brought him in. He's got a clean sheet in half his starts for me. He's just been great. Probably his last start in my squad and last start in the Premier League in life because Butland's coming back and his loan ends soon. So, yeah, Lee Grant.
It's so weird to me with Grant how last year Butland made so many. He got so many save points, but yeah. Now Grant gets none. It doesn't make sense to
me. I was looking into that a little bit because, I mean, we'll get to it in the what the fuck section, but someone tweeted in asking about goalies, and I was looking at the exact same thing, and they're just allowing a lot less shots. I mean, that there's nothing else to it. He's saving most things that come their way. You know, their defense has been really solid lately, but they're just allowing like 2.5 less shots in the box and 1.5 less shots outside the box per game. So I don't know if that means they're playing better or getting lucky I don't know.
If it's either, it's just what's happening. And
it's just what's happening.
Maybe Butland will come in and they'll clear the space more and not like dive to block as much because they'll think he'll save everything.
Yeah, he's like, I got it, lads. Just fuck
him. Like, how am I gonna? I have myself enough PL. How am I gonna get save points if you guys are blocking everything?
Exactly. But yeah, so I had some other tits and tots here and there. As you mentioned, Chaz Austin. I mean, just massive, making his presence known in my squad. 9-pointer, max bones.
Immediately,
just boom after the first little second. Blank last week. Yeah. Kuhn keeps Kuhning. It's such a fun part of the season when everyone starts selling him in FPL. It's just, it happens every single year. Yeah. And it just means the day of reckoning is around the corner, and it came.
Yeah, it felt good.
My transfer was Lukaku to Costa, so Costa just keeps ticking. Nothing huge, but I'll take it.
Netted 4 points. That's all you can ever hope for.
All you can hope for.
Net positive on the transfer.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, Matip clean, Liverpool sneaky back-to-back cleans, which is really weird. And that's it. That'll create a green arrow. So, yeah, feeling pretty good.
Dog just came home. Is
that the dog on air?
Yeah, she's licking my face.
Can we get her on the mic?
I don't know. She's, like, licking me, dude.
No squeaky toys good for listeners, though.
Yeah, it's great. She just got home with my wife.
Beautiful. One day, Lauren will get on air by accident.
Yeah, right. Babe, can you close the door? Okay. That's great.
Okay. Sponsor, we're going to skip this week. There's just so much fucking shit to talk about. It's like a really critical point in FPL right now, feels like.
Every point is critical at this juncture. It seems like the swings and the highs and lows are so massive every weekend.
Yeah, and there's so many like good guys. There's so many good, expensive guys who are just hitting.
Yeah, in the last couple seasons, we haven't had this much variety with such a broken template. Every couple weeks, drastic changes happen, and it's fun. I mean, it's fun to have this much.
It's really fun. It's really fucking crazy. I mean, last season for... like listeners who were around last season, they'll know we were pretty much complaining about the template every single week with like Vardy and
Mahrez.
It
was about seven people. Alderweireld was in every team. I mean, it was about seven of your 11 places were template for a large swath.
Yeah, Ali, Payet, Mahrez, Vardy, Toby. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's good to be nuts. All right, where do you want to start?
I don't know. You got listener questions, and why don't we use that as our guide for the pod?
Yeah, we can start there. So I'll start with the one that I mentioned earlier. I mean, this is from FPL United. He said, this season, cleans are very hard to come by. Who do you think are the best keepers to have?
Keepers?
Keepers, yeah. I mean...
The cheapest ones.
I mean, I still think Heaton's fantastic, but he's still dead, and no one knows when he's coming back.
Yep.
But this other great FPL Twitter... at Real Hype Train posted like their overall FPL keeper table by team. And there's only 15 points between first place Chelsea and 19th place Sunderland. So it's like 1 point per week, basically, at this point in the season between the highest scoring and second lowest scoring, which is really just the moral of the story. I mean, we've been saying forever, spend as little as possible on keeper. Spending a transfer on keeper is pretty much always a nightmare. And the only time I'd really entertain it or recommend it is when you're downgrading an expensive guy to some like Pickford or something so you can...
For funds.
Yeah, for funds, for like a forward or a mid. So, I mean, that's the easy answer. I think Pickford's a great pick.
Yeah, I feel really fine having Pickford in another 4.0. It's just he's going to get between 2 and 7 every game pretty much because of save points when they don't keep him. As you said, the points are clumped together. I'm not trying to spend an extra 1 or 1.5 million to eke out one extra point per week if it's averaging out to that in something like this. You know, the top teams, those players, those goalies never get bonus and unless they save a penalty, and they don't get that many saves, so they're bad value. I mean, it's bad value for money.
Yeah, goalies just don't have that much room for points.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing to do at this point is to keep an eye on the goalies who are near or edging bonus points, because that's going to tell you those are really the goalies that you want. I mean, Pickford's gets bonus sometimes. Grant got bonus. I think Butland's going to be a really nice pick when he comes back because he was gold last year for a long time.
Yep.
But those are the kind of teams that have like shitty defenders bonus points. We've been talking about this on preseason pods. Those are the ones that you want who aren't going to score much. You don't have outstanding offenses. Those are attacks. Those are the kind of teams that if they play 2-0 win, 1-0 win, whatever, they're in a shout for one or two bones. Those are the kind of things that make you feel so good. If you get an 8-pointer from your goalie or something, that's going to be a big boost for your week in that time. So cheap is the best route, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I think you mentioned everyone that I'd pretty much entertain, which is like Pickford, Heaton, Butland,
Valdez,
and like maybe Foster, I guess. He traditionally gets bonus, but they've been pretty bad this year. Yeah, Valdez.
Borch, when he's back.
Yeah, that
I don't hate that fucking Tim Howard clone Randolph at 4-5. I mean, West Ham are shit, but...
But is Adrian dropped, or is he...
He's dropped.
Wow.
Yeah, I think he's been dropped. He's been terrible.
Yeah.
Randolph's been good. He's been making good saves. He's good.
Yeah, he had like some good saves this week. He got a 4-pointer.
Yeah, he almost got Baps this weekend.
He has fucking Arsenal and Liverpool next, so let's see how many saves he can get.
I mean, he got 7 this week. He's good value.
Yeah, he's good value. Yeah,
West Ham look like West Ham's doing better. I don't know. They look like they're doing a little bit better.
They're doing better. They need a striker.
Yeah, they don't have. They're not going to get. Well, Carroll, I guess. I don't know. He sucks.
Yeah.
Goalies, whatever. What else? That was a letdown. Let's start talking about Kuhn and Kane.
Well, fine. Let's just go there. We'll ask the other questions later because they have nothing to do with Kuhn and Kane. But let's talk
Kane,
about it. Let's talk about
Kane is coming, baby. He's got home dick, home fuck, and home ass. 3 of the next 4.
Yeah. This is the best possible fixtures you could have.
Hull, Burnley, Swansea, in that order. All home, 3 of the next. I mean, it's unusual that the gods, whomever create the table, put such home bankers in such quick succession. If you're going to have Kane all season, I mean, now's the time. You want him for those 3 games and you want to captain him.
Okay, so let me ask you. I have Aguero, Costa, and Austin, which is probably one of the most popular combinations. Maybe Austin swap with Defoe. What do we do about Spurs coverage and Kane? I don't want to drop Aguero or Costa.
We do not have Kane.
Yeah, there's no Kane there, right?
We're going to sacrifice live animals to the altar of the mouth-breathing god. Hope that we're going to stick needles in his fucking nose to hope that it suffocates, and then we're going to hope he blanks in those games.
That's it, dude. It's just hold your fucking breath time.
There's nothing to do. It's just some of us are backed in a corner and we don't have him. Some of us, the others will go for him, and this is going to be a big swing. I mean, we have 4 game weeks right now. He's going to be, I mean, he's already double rows in the last like little bit, and he's going to be coming and pouring into teams, and he's going to be captained. Every single person that owns him is going to captain for those 3. So this is going to make or break a lot of teams, or not necessarily make or break, but it's going to be a big swing. So, I mean, if you got to hope that you're not captain blanking when you're going up against Kane in those 3 weeks, because then you're going to be hurting. I mean, if you could sneak in captain returns, then you'll probably be okay. But it's going to be all up to you managing and picking the right captain. in those 3 weeks.
Yeah, the only good thing is that he has home Swansea, which is a nightmare for not owning him. But then he has at United, so we might have like 2 weeks of game weeks to be able to get him in. Like, say he scores a brace or something, it looks amazing in Swansea. We have a little bit of time to get him in before home Burnley. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if he just kills us and just like we plummet, we'll have time to get him in.
Yeah, that's not out of the question, especially because he is basically a straight swap with Costa. So if we need to just hit that button, emergency button, and bring him in for those 2 weeks to captain him because we're just terrified, and we could always do that and then downshift back to Costa.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not how you want to use transfers when the fixtures are piling up, but it's not on the worst thing in the world. It's on the radar.
Yeah, I've been looking at mids. I mean, the truth is that like the mids have just been like shit all year. And like when you look at their stats, Lamella is still like probably the most attractive option, and he's not even alive. He's a dead person. Eriksen is like next best, but pretty unimpressive. Ollie's stats have been incredibly bad. The only good thing about Eriksen is that he scores in bunches. So there's, you know, I could kind of talk myself into Eriksen and that, like, okay, just scored a worldie against Chelsea. They have these home bankers. They might score four on all of them. He's still on everything, nailed for 90. You could see him getting some returns, but I still don't love him. I mean, it's a great pick.
There is no player that has burned me more in the past than Eriksen. Every single time I've owned him, I've missed points. And he's one of those guys.
He's just one of those guys.
Me.
Yeah.
He's fucked me bad. And I've tried to be patient with him. I've had him for a stretch. He's blanked. Like, I don't like him. I still really like Ollie a lot. His stats aren't very good, but I think if I was going to go for a Spurs mid, I would go for Ollie. He keeps getting subbed off at 75. I'm not sure if he's just trying to preserve him because he faded so badly late in last season, but I don't know.
He's also just not been that good.
He hasn't been that good, but he has still like returned reasonably.
Yeah.
I think if you're looking for coverage there, I don't hate the Ollie shout. He's not captainable, but he could run into double returns in some of these fixtures easily.
That's all you're hoping for if you're a non-Kane owner. It's just running into some lucky assists or something, like crosses to Kane or whatever. I mean, I wish Son were nailed because if he could just nail himself to like number 10 or something, he'd be the best option by far, but he's just not.
No, he's definitely not nailed, especially Lamella's going to be coming back soon, and he's still toying around with Jansen playing. And that's the other thing that we need to hope for, is we need to hope for Jansen's name in that team sheet against Swansea. Kane is so much worse when Jansen's in. He does that like kind of drop deep. Jansen's in his space all the time. He's not the focal point. He looked so bad 2 games ago and Jansen was starting, and hopefully he's stubborn. Pochettino's stubborn enough to keep trying to make Jansen work. It's like fitting a square peg into a round hole. But
yeah, Kane just like, he's a lemming. He just like always does the same things. When he's in the box, they're really good things. He'll just like run with his head down and rip a shot. But when he's like number 10 behind Jansen, they're really bad.
Yeah.
He's just like running around like, you know, he's kind of like hunched over when he runs and just mouth breathing. And he's just like, doesn't know what's happening. He's like, why am I out here? I'm too far away.
Yeah. So, I mean, Kane's a thing. It's time to get Kane in if you can do. And captain him with confidence because that's what you have to do. It's a little fixtures over form, but Kane.
Yeah, people are dropping Kun for him, which I just cannot get
still,
behind.
Still don't like. I don't care who Kun's playing. I'm not going to make that
I
stop.
Don't care, dude. He has 33 dongs in his last 34 Premier League games.
Yeah. It really doesn't matter who he's playing.
That's an entire season of a goal a game. Like, how can you possibly get rid of that after a brace?
No, you shouldn't and can't.
You shouldn't and can't do.
But Spurs, I think Alderweireld's coming back soon. He's going to probably be a good guy to have.
Rose has dropped a little bit.
Yeah, Rose has dropped in price. I always like Rose, but it's tough to fit him in when we're all clamoring for a Chelsea defender. And I mean, Rose is still really expensive, even though he's dropped in price a little bit. I think he's the cheapest. All Vertonghen is so bad, but yeah, Rose 5'9". I think he's a good option.
Yeah, I mean, definitely for at minimum these home games where you just see them 80% possession dominating. I mean, they were pretty good in that Chelsea game, but I think the biggest takeaway is that like those first like 30 minutes where they completely dominated Chelsea, and the fact that they were capable of doing that after a short week with Champions League tells me that, like, in these home games against these shit teams, they should be able to dominate, which is all you really need. And for a defender, that just means chance of a clean sheet are way up, so.
Yeah, yeah, you got to expect that. I mean, Spurs against these shitty-ass teams should be able to spank them. But
yeah, it's so tricky this week because every single person on earth has Coutinho. And so It's like one of your transfers is just pretty much automatically burned. So it's so hard to, like, get in all these other guys, Alexis, if you don't have him, Kane, if you don't have him, like, a Spurs defender, shit like that. It's just so fucking tough because unless you had two frees and money in the bank, you're probably not going to be able to.
Yeah, I think hits this week are going to probably be at a record high.
Record high, 100%.
Because unless if people are actually getting Kane in for Aguero, which I don't think that's really happening too much right now, after the brace, if they're getting Kane in, it's either those few who have the two frees or it's in a double swap for a hit with downgrading Coutinho to Siggy, which seems to be the most popular transfer of the week so far. It's Monday, but...
Yeah, I mean, Siggy's double rising this week, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Coot's double falling, Lukaku's double falling, Gundo's double falling. There's a lot of movement this week.
Yeah, every week there's so much movement.
Yeah, it's been crazy, dude.
Yeah, Walcott just rose, though, which is great for me. I got to sell extra selling value there.
So why is it always a nightmare to take a hit to swap defenders? Because a lot of people are probably doing that.
It's just it's not a nightmare if you have an actual zero instead of the defender. I mean, if you have a playing defender, the chances are they're going to get you one, maybe 2 points if they only concede one. So if you're taking a -4 for that week to do the swap, you're at best going to like net zero if they keep a clean, which is impossible to predict regardless of the fixture, and your replacement gets a 2 or a 1 pointer. I mean, your best case going to be really with the hit netting 1 point, maybe 2 points. That's for me, that's what I'm always looking at. I think that even if it might be freeing up funds or something to do the other move, that's a different case. But if it's a 1-for-1 swap, I would rather wait until the following week and do it for free or be taking that, doing that transfer for a hit to free funds up elsewhere. Because in the 1 week vacuum, you can look at it over the medium term, but you could also just look at it as if you don't do it and you do it next week for free, chances are that you're going to come out ahead there by not giving the 4 points away.
Exactly. That's really the bottom line, is you can always just wait a week to do it.
Yeah.
It's so tempting to do like Kolarov to Spurs defender, Kolarov to Chelsea defender, but it's like, for -4, I'll just wait a week or wait 2 weeks, yeah. Whatever.
And that's the thing, is it's no matter how good you know your guy's not going to keep it clean and you think the other guy's going to keep it clean, you never know. It could be some crazy
pen or
whatever. You
actually never know, yeah.
You can get lucky with your guy, but again, it's realistically as a clean sheet is 6, your blank is going to be 2 or 1, and that's the best case. I mean, grant the defender attacking return is actually impossible to predict. Bonus points, you know, maybe they're good at bonus points, but the ceiling of getting those points back in that week are so little. If it's going to be a lateral swap, it's just never in my mind worth it. But if you don't have a player, then it's a -2 hit because you're going looking at a 0 to a 2.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, then you're doing that transfer, because you're going to be better off in the medium term. You have a higher chance of making it back right away. And for that lateral swap, you want it right away, because if you're not freeing up funds to do the double switch, then that's how you should be looking at it, because you could always do it next week.
Yep, I agree. And that takes us to @FatGorilla, another Twitter question. Got some good questions this week. Is there a 5 to 5.5 million defender who can keep up with the likes of Chelsea and Arsenal?
Yeah, Southampton. I mean, Southampton's got to be where you're looking.
I had the exact same response. I mean, Cedric, Most of all, he's the cheapest route in.
Yeah, he nicked an extra BAP. He had a higher BPS score than Van Dijk. His crosses are pretty bad, but by the nature of putting them in, he's going to be always up there in the bonus point system. Bertrand, for some reason, has been really bad in the bonus points.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Season.
I don't know what his deal is. Yeah.
So, I mean, Cedric at 4.9, he's 0.6 cheaper than Van Dijk now. You know Van Dijk's goals are coming. I mean, probably this weekend against Palace, after we just conceded 3 of set pieces to Swansea last weekend.
Yeah.
It's probably coming this week. Could be his first opening of the account. But
the thing with Cedric, and you mentioned the bones, is that in his 4 last starts, he has bones in 3 out of the 4, which I think was just so telling. Max bones in 2 twice, which is just incredible to get on a clean sheet.
Yeah, Cedric's going to be making his way in a lot of teams, I think, coming up. Other than that, though, I don't really see much in that price range that's going to keep up I don't know. Klein's been doing well for me, but a lot of Liverpool's good fixtures are away. A lot of teams are parking the bus. They might be able to keep dominating. They've been looking a little bit better, but I mean, Lovren's pretty cheap. He's only five.
Yeah, and he went up a little bit. But the thing is, their good run is almost out also, which is something to keep in mind. I mean,
yeah,
they have like four or five decent fixtures left. I don't know if it's worth it. I wouldn't be transferring them in. Yeah, totally. One thing that I thought was interesting was United. I mean, they have really bad fixtures next two, but after that, they have a really, really good run for a long time. And maybe in these next two, we'll get a better idea of who's actually nailed and who isn't, because, I don't know, Darmian's probably going to keep his spot because Mu hates Shaw, and who knows, with, like, Phil Jones, who's 4'7", and Rojo's, who's 5'2". But from, like, game week 16 through, like, I'm looking, 27, they only have two bad defensive fixtures in that entire part, so.
Yeah, I mean, Valencia's still only 5'4". That's a good shot. I've just, like, haven't really thought about United as a fantasy thing
because they suck.
But you're right. Their fixtures do turn. And in that price bracket, if you're looking at someone competing against the Sixes and the Chelsea and the Spurs, you really want to start every week type. I think that's a United guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a little bit 0.5 budgetary could possibly keep up. I like that call.
Yeah, someone I was looking at. But I think that's mostly it for defenders. Guys you're bringing in, at least.
Yeah.
I was talking with Tempe Bug. He was trying to get in someone. He wanted to bring in Courtois, and I was like, how could you possibly bring him in over like Alonso or Aspil? He has Alonso already. And the thing that we went back to, and I know we covered this on the pod, is that just like, he's not going to just rotate the side. They have no other competition. Like, yes, Terry and Zuma lurk, but in the form that they're in, there's no reason, barring injury or, like, someone fucking his daughter, to rotate any of these guys out at any point, Aspil, Luis, or Cahill. So,
yeah, it would really have to be a thing where the physios are saying to him, this guy can't play three games in a week. You need to give him one off or something like that. Short of that, then, no, I agree with you completely.
Yeah, so those guys are still the best guys to bring in, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think defense is getting to be interesting because we're starting to get to the time when the heavier hitting teams start keeping cleans more regularly when there are all these fixtures and everyone kind of tightens a little bit.
It's also interesting because there's so many like expensive, huge guys in forward and mid that everyone wants. So it's like increasingly harder and harder to spend like six plus on multiple defenders, which like, you want to, but you can't really reason it. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the Hazard conundrum because he just rose. Everyone's still bringing him in off the back of two blanks. They've got a tough away fixture. I don't really feel concerned not owning him. I think Costa's so much better of an option. I don't think it's really that close. I think Hazard's inconsistency this season, I mean, he went back to showing it this weekend. He really didn't have a really good in my memory right now, pot shot on goal. He kind of just like defers a lot, and Costa's so much more in and around everything. I feel like Costa created a few chances. He could have easily had an assist off that Alonso bar.
Yep.
It's just at 10, whatever, if you're going for Hazard, and a lot of their good fixtures coming up also are away, and he's not good away. They have three of their next four are away, and he just blanked in their one of their homes. So if you don't have him, I wouldn't be even considering bringing him in until at least, you know, maybe like 18, that home Bournemouth or something like that, or maybe Palace, but he's just bad away. He does not return away from home. It's been three seasons now, and it's been a fairly consistent rule.
As good as he's been this season, it's still... The underlying statistics are still worth something, you know? And as you said, I mean, he just doesn't shoot that much and he doesn't create that many chances. I mean, they're not bad numbers by any stretch, but they're not 10.3 million numbers.
They're never captainable.
Never captainable also. If you're going up to Hazard, like if someone's going like Coutinho to Hazard, you might as well fucking stretch your budget to Alexis because
Or get Paye, who you know I'm in love with.
Yeah, you're obsessed with Paye.
Yeah, I am very obsessed with Paye.
I want them to get a fixture before I get it. I mean, a fixture, a fucking forward before I bring him in. Know. But he is still creating a billion chances.
He still has Antonio's head to aim for.
That's as long as you got that, you got assist in your pocket. But yeah, I mean, Hazard, I feel the exact same way. And I think I mentioned it last week. Costa is just so much better to own. With like the way they're playing on the break and everything, Costa's always in the middle of everything. Like it's pretty hard to imagine them scoring and not involving Costa, even if it's just a layoff or a shot or a rebound or something.
It's fucking game week 13 just passed us, and he has two blanks all year.
And that's more than anything. That's what you're looking for in fantasy, any sport. Like, yeah.
What the fuck is that? That's so fucking insane.
That's broken shit.
I think he's better than Kane. Like, I would get him over Kane.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt, dude.
Even though Kane has these three cat, like, Captain Costa every week, he's never blanks. You're going to be okay.
Diego.
He hasn't been necessarily explosive, but he's had some insanely good chances created that have not hooked him.
Every week
he has, you feel like he has one where it's like Pedro hits the bar, someone hits the bar. He's setting up such good chances on the counters. There's at least one a game.
And I mean, he's just been world class.
He's been the best player in fantasy.
In the league, probably. I mean, he's just, whatever Conte did to like whip him into shape attitude wise has just been like absolutely revolutionary. He's just been so incredible. I just looked it up. He's involved in 50% of Chelsea's goals.
Yeah, and that's better than like someone like Snodgrass involved in 70% of Hall's goals because Chelsea gets so many more.
That's just incredible. You just can't get around that.
No.
Yeah, so, Hazard, I'm not that scared of him either.
No, I'm not. I am, however, or formerly was scared of Alexis because it looks like he's going to start ripping teams apart. I mean, I haven't had him all season, but the brace was just so ridiculous, and he could have had so much more. And they look like they're starting to get back into it. And the fact that, I mean, thank God, people brought Giroud in this week, which is just scenes.
It's fucking mental shit, dude. They must not listen to the pod because when you brought in Giroud,
God, you cannot predict logical manager things. Like the fact that they're playing Bournemouth at home and Giroud just had played great and has been playing great and building up to match fitness means nothing because the team with Alexis at striker is better than they've ever been with Giroud at striker. And Wenger knows that, and that's why he continuously has been leaving Giroud on the bench. He was match fit earlier in the season. He left him on the bench. He's match fit now, and he's leaving on the bench. And now he's not match fit because he just got fucking hurt. Alexis is playing out of position, and I'm just like, I can't keep going on like this anymore. He's so good.
He's too good. Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to bring him in for a hit this week, but he's just, on Football Weekly, they mentioned, like, since August 2014, he's played a game every 5.8 days.
He needs to.
It's like 2.5 years. He never gets tired. No injuries ever, like, sustain. He's a robot. And as you said, I fully agree. I mean, like, all this time, Arsenal fans and pundits and everything have been clamoring for like a world-class striker. Like now you have him.
They have one. No, it's him.
It's revolutionized the team. I mean, it hurts Ozil's value a lot in fantasy. It hurts a lot of other guys, but he's just the best thing ever. And Giroud's the perfect like plan B, like late sub, need a goal type of guy. It's just the balance of the team is right now, and there's no reason to change it.
Yeah, and Walcott, there was some concern over him featuring, even though he did get that run out in Champions League midweek, but the return 9-pointer was nice to cool nerves, and I mean, he just price rose, so a lot of people are trying to get him in who probably formerly didn't have any Arsenal cover, those owners with Hazard.
Yeah, I think people are bringing him in if they can't get to Alexis.
Alexis, exactly, I agree, and they still have a couple good fixtures, they have a couple bad ones, and they get really good, but I mean, it's clear that he's in their first team. There's no question about it.
Yeah,
that right wing is all him.
You look back at his
him.
History. He started every single game this season that he's been fit for. He just missed one because he was hurt. And that tells you all you need to know. I mean, he's the fifth overall midfielder in total points. He like doesn't have the explosivity of Alexis or whatever, but out of anyone else on Arsenal, he's the only other option to even consider.
I think he like does. He's had hat tricks.
Traditionally, he does, but not really like this year as much.
Yeah, I don't know. He's had hat tricks before. I don't know where he's going though, because he has gone missing. I think he looked bad again. He looked pretty bad.
I mean,
but the goal calms you down. But
it's hard to speculate because it's such like a loose concept that we'd be talking about. But like with Giroud, they are much different in the sense that he like holds up and plays traditional. He runs past. It's like it's hurting Ozil. It's maybe even hurting Feo a little bit, but he's still really good and still scored a good goal. And having both isn't bad. And like you said, they have like two bad fixtures in their next 10, and a lot of them are really, really good. Like Alexis, if you don't own Alexis next 10, you're probably fucked. He's going to be captained at least five or six times in the next 10 game weeks.
Yeah, it'll be tough to avoid some hauls that other people are getting. But I still think when you look at Walcott in a vacuum against other players in his price bracket, I mean, you want him over like Eriksen. You want him. He's in that 7.7x, whatever. He's still maybe the best option in the sub 8 million bracket. He's still a good option.
Yeah, I can't really even think of anyone else. I mean, Siggy and Pedro are getting a lot of buzz, and they're both good picks, but
I would probably have Siggy over Walcott for this whole interim.
Yeah, probably Siggy, but not Pedro, I don't think.
But it shouldn't be an either-or, because you should easily be able to fund both, you know?
Yeah,
and those could be your third and fourth mids or something like this. So let's go over to Siggy. I mean, I got Siggy in about a month ago. I sold him before he started returning every game, because I'm a fucking asshole. But continue to Siggy. There's no reason not to have Siggy in your team. He's on every set piece. Swansea are looking a little bit better. Bob's playing him at false nine. The price is ridiculous. He's ridiculously low price, even though he already rose up to 7.3. He's just mispriced.
He's kind of Firmino of last year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He's just in that mid-range, and he's kind of like weirdly under the radar, even though everyone on the planet knows who he is. And he's just ticking over so consistently. False nine, 7.3, it's just so obvious.
Every set piece, and his direct frees are not, he's on a free. It's like, that's a goal most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Payet being on a free. It's like, you're just like, okay, yeah, this could easily be a dong. Yeah, give him two of those in decent areas a game, and he'll probably score one. And it sucks to bring him in when someone's at Spurs. Like, I hate that, bringing in a new guy and like with a likelihood of a blank. But then after that, he's got six good fixtures, so...
Yeah, and also his Spurs X team, he's going to be up for it. He's already been steadily returning against tough teams and tough fixtures the past, you know, couple months. So
yeah,
he's just a great pick. He's going to make his way slowly into most teams, I think, over the next two or three games.
Imagine if Bob could just get a point out of Swansea Tot. Oh my God.
That'd be great.
The Bob American hype train would be real.
Well, let's continue to diet. So is there any concern about Liverpool? What do you think? How are you feeling?
No, and you know, that was the third and last question that I had written down, which came from legend and old friend of the pod, Calvin Chan. I mean, he said, with Coot out, how worried are you about Bobby's production? I assume he gets moved out right, or Rigi steps forward. That's true. I mean, like, Firmino on a piece of paper will be like left winger, when Mane will be right winger. But the thing is, what we've learned from Klopp teams and what we've learned about Firmino in the past is that like they're not positionally stable. Like they're not a FIFA team where your left winger stays out wide left wing. Like Firm will just constantly be still in the box, still cutting in on his right foot. And I did a little post on the website where I just compared stats for this season with Coutinho to last week's game when Coutinho only played 30, to last season when Coutinho missed three straight games against Arsenal, Man U, and Norwich. And Firmino fucking dominated. He was incredible. He had a brace against Arsenal, brace against Norwich, plus an assist. So I'm just not worried at all. I mean, like, it sucks. As a Liverpool fan, it's fucking horrible. And to have to transfer him out, it's fucking horrible. But in terms of, like, being worried about my other Liverpool assets like Firmino or Mane, I'm just really not at all. We're a deep squad and we're a good squad.
Yep. I'm with you there. I think Bobby's just a hold with confidence at this point. He's got that little knock. We'll see if he plays at the weekend.
Yeah, hopefully he's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll probably make it in there. I think he's good. You guys should still probably be fine, regardless of formation. Like you were saying, it's fluid. Another talking point. Kevin got dropped, or not dropped, rather rotated.
Yeah, I don't know. City is a fucking mindfuck.
City is an absolute nightmare.
We talked about it last week. I mean, it feels so good to have Kuhn and not any of their midfielders.
To that point, you know Iheanacho's going to start one of these next four. There's no question about that.
Yeah, why not? Why not rotate?
No, he's going to. That's what he's been doing so consistently. Kuhn's going to miss one of those pileups. We'll see. Also, another little, De Bruyne, I still don't really understand it, because when they have the full week of recovery time, and they had the midweek, but De Bruyne is fit. How do you in your brain rationalize not starting him, because he's your second best player on the team? He's a world-class player. How do you do that? What's the managerial thought process?
No KDB, or Silva.
It's the same thing with Silva. It's just, how are you starting Fernando, Fernandinho, and Yaya when you're playing a team like Burnley?
I mean, it's crazy. I don't know. It's fully crazy.
I wonder if City fans are really like up in arms about that, because as an onlooker, I don't really give a fuck, because I don't fucking care what City do. They won, but they went down 1-0 early and they didn't look good. I mean, they got that clusterfuck goal, the winner. And the first goal wasn't, a class goal. They were obviously dominating possession, but they didn't look good.
Both goals were fucking bullshit goals also. Yeah, poacher goals. He just gets the benefit of the doubt. He's lucky that he's Pep. You know what I mean? If Mourinho did this, or fucking Wenger or Pards or something, everyone would be freaking out. Like, how the fuck can you bench all of your creative midfielders? But I don't know, dude. He's just a madman. Maybe he's just that cocky, where he's like, yeah, turf more, blah, blah, blah. Like, Burnley are fucking horrible, and we're going to do them no matter what team I put out there. But I really don't know. I have no answer for you.
I hate it. I really, when I saw the team shit, it was just so pessimistic. It didn't seem reasonable. But we'll see. They have the big game against Chelsea coming up, so I don't know if he was that concerned that he would maybe get an injury to one of them or something. But
that's
at the same
reasonable.
Time,
yeah.
When they don't play together, they're not building chemistry, and it's not like they've. I don't know. I just think it's fucking dumb. We play a good team. It's a Premier League. No team is a pushover. They went down 1-0. They didn't create a lot. They didn't look good.
Yeah, it might just have been that simple. He's just saving people for Chelsea, followed by Champions League in the same week. And then once the group stage is over, maybe he'll just go back to the best starting 11. Yeah,
but pileup when they have three games a week and shit. So, it's going to continue. From a fantasy perspective.
Maybe it's that also. He's preparing for the pileup with some different team sheets. We really have no idea. He's definitely better at managing than we are, so.
I know, I just want to know.
Yeah, maybe we have to read his book. Maybe he gives us all the secrets in there.
I don't want to talk about Palace, but the one thing that I think is good info is Wilf declaring that he's going to be an Ivory Coast international, since Southgate is a cunt and he picked Townsend, who's a piece of actual shit, instead of Wilf on the last team. He's only played two friendlies for England, never been properly capped, so his allegiance is now, he's an Ivory Coast international, which means, of course, he's going to be fucking off to Africa for about a month with the likes of Mane and Alan Niam. So probably not a good time to transfer him in, even though he looks like the premier pick of the 5.5-ish mids and below.
Yeah, for people who don't know, the African Cup of Nations is, all of January? Even if you get knocked out of group stage, it's still all of January, right?
I think it starts in December, or they go down there mid-late December, I'm not sure. But
yeah, 100%. And then they have the tournament, so Yaya, traditionally, but he doesn't really matter this year. But yeah, Mane, Zaha, etc. will miss a month at least. But yeah, fuck, another huge haul, dong and assist. He also hit the bar, he could have had more things, but the assist was the funniest / luckiest thing ever on that deflection.
It was amazing. I mean, he's been incredible. He's fucking God. It's Wilf.
Wilf,
man.
Maybe I'll go Gundo to Wilf.
No, I just said don't get him, dude. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
You can't get to do a plan transfer out in a few weeks. That's not good. Everyone's going to die good. And shit when there's a game every 3 days? You can't do that.
Yeah, that's not good. I think Zlatan and United are a little bit worth talking about. I mean, he's kind of back. I mean, his stats have been good all season. That really never declined, yeah, except never for the changed. Actual finishing shit, Ibra.
He created some really good chances, too.
He scored 3 goals the last 2 games. He had 19 touches in the box against West Ham, which is, I've never even seen that. That's fucking freaky shit. He's very intriguing right now.
Yeah, and he got Max Bones, which is always good. I mean, he creates so much, so he's one of those strikers who's, when they score a goal, they're also booing their bonus points. I mean, he'll have their deductions for being offsides, this and that, but he's also creating a lot, and, you know.
Yeah, so there's 5 forwards who are, like, 10 million or plus, or 4 forwards who are 10 million plus who we all want. Most of us only have 2 of them. Some have 3, but fuck, dude. I mean, like, it's just another guy that's in the mix who I'm interested in but can't bring in, really.
A couple weeks, though. I don't know. We'll see. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, they have two pretty bad fixtures, Everton and Tottenham, but then they have 4 great ones. Palace, West Brom, home Sunday, home Middlesbrough. So could be a thing. It's one to keep an eye on. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe, like, Mkhitaryan can play his way back into the side or something. We bring him in for those 4 or something like that. But I don't know. Hopefully Lingard just dies and then we can bring someone in good.
Ugh, that would be very nice.
That would be just great for everyone.
Yeah. Phil Jones, 4-7.
He might be a real fucking option.
Every time I've gotten him in, it's been maximum 2 weeks before he dies.
Oh, my God.
What's up with Smalling? Is he dead or is he coming
back?
Yeah,
he's dead. He has a broken toe, I think. But
he's out for a long time?
Him and Bailly, I think, are back like in December sometime. So, it'll be worth monitoring. But Darmian's 5 million. Bailly's down to 5.3. So they're still really good budget fucking options, potentially.
God damn it.
Bailly.
I don't get you kick a water ball, you get banned. That's stupid.
Yeah, apparently it's like an actual rule. Like it wasn't the ref's discretion.
Mkhitaryan, like, it's so frustrating.
His stats are actually really good considering he's played like sub 30 minutes in every one of his appearances. And apparently he was dominant in Europa. So hopefully he can fucking finally work himself into the team because he's just so much better than half the dog shit that Mu puts out there.
Lingard is just, it's so beyond my comprehension and reasoning. I don't understand it.
Lingard, yeah.
Yeah, I can't comprehend it.
I know.
It really upsets me.
Yeah, it's one of those mysteries we'll never get the answer to.
Oh, God. All right, I think that's everything. What do you
think? Yeah, that felt like a lot. I feel like I haven't stopped talking in a long time.
Yeah, well, we're potting, so
we're
can't
potting, so we can't stop, yeah.
Fucking Palace, dude.
No. Oh, Palace is soon.
Now I'm getting a little bit sad about that and dark.
You want to hear a funny tweet about Palace?
I don't know.
Some guy tweeted, "This is a tale of chaos, beautiful women, and adversity. The story of a man who's lost, then won, then lost again. Jude Law is Pards." It's like, that's such a phenomenal script. Yeah, it's brutal. Brutal, brutal time. He's not fired yet, though, right? He has another in him.
I don't know. I don't think there's a really viable, attractive alternative. And I think that we still have so much quality in the side, and the table is still such a clusterfuck that we're going to be safe. I'm still not even close to being concerned that we're going to get relegated.
No, you're too good.
You look at the teams around us, and we're going to just, like, luck into some 4-2 wins, and we're going to be okay. But he's certainly not the man to take us forward. It's just the kind of, there's no viable alternative who's really attractive enough that we should fire him today.
Yeah, I mean, I hope he's around because I have Chaz Austin, and I want to captain him, so.
All right, let's go. So who are you, captain? You're talking Chazzy, baby?
I'm on Chaz right now, and it feels pretty okay at Palace. I mean, Palace is surprisingly worse at home than away. I don't really know what's going on, but Yeah, I mean, Aguero's got Chelsea and Costa vice versa City, yeah. So that doesn't feel good.
Costa's an option, though.
I mean, he's always an option, yeah. Mm-hmm. He basically hasn't blanked all year. I mean, I think Aguero's just as much of an option. I mean, like, Chelsea's defense is probably best in the league, but...
Definitely best in the league, but
yeah, I mean...
The Spurs goal was fucking insane luck. I mean, not luck, it was just a moment of brilliance.
It was just a worldie, yeah, but...
They also had zero clear-cut chances throughout the game.
Yeah, it seemed like they were... Chelsea was fine getting dominated in midfield because they're just like, we have an extra defender. You're never going to get anything. Yeah. I mean, Kane is the obvious shot. We talked about him at length earlier. Home Swans is just insane.
Alexis obviously is always an option against a bad West Ham team, but they're going to get Winston Reid back, so they'll have a little bit more about them.
But yeah, I mean, it's those three, right? I mean, there's no one else really at the four.
I don't hate a Zlatan show because I think Everton are in complete shambles.
They are in complete shambles. The defense has still been, like, reasonable, though.
I don't really care. I think they're just this fucking shitty-ass team. I think Zlatan could bully them, and I think they should get dominated by United because they're fucking horrible.
Yeah, Jags Penn is definitely
Jags Penn's
in the mix.
On the cards.
Yeah.
Especially for sure. If Mkhitaryan starts. Come on.
Oh, God, it'd be so nice to see Mkhitaryan in there.
I just hate that so much. Like, you buy him for so much money. He was in charge when they bought him. It's not like he inherited him. And then he just fucks him off to planet fuck for the entire season. And he's starting Jesse Lingard every game. And he's awful.
It's Lingard's team now.
He's awful.
So bad.
He wouldn't get in the Palisade.
No, there's no way.
There's no chance. If he ever put Jesse Lingard starting over Punchin, I'd lose my fucking mind.
That tells you everything you need to fucking know.
It's ridiculous that he's getting into this side. It's I don't understand it. He's just like, oh, his work rate. I mean, he's just his nose size. I don't know. I'm looking
at all the like bottom teams. Like, I don't think he gets into Swansea.
No, give me Wayne Routledge, 5 million
Wayne
times
Routledge,
over
Cork,
him.
Fur, Siggy, like he's not in that side. Barrow, those guys are way better than him.
No, he should be having trouble getting to most sides in the Premier League because he's just young and bad. He needs Victor Moses treatment. He needs 3 years and
three years of loans to different teams. Yeah, and then maybe you'll be considered. Maybe.
It's ridiculous. Even like, give me some Memphis looking.
Yeah,
at least it's got quality.
At least
Lingard doesn't do anything.
Sexy. Yeah. At least he has one name, not two names.
Why the fuck are we talking about United?
Because Zlatan captainship. But I think that's it, right? I mean. It's mostly Kane, it's mostly Alexis, and it's mostly Chaz. But, like, everyone else is a shout, but those three are the forerunners for sure.
Yep, I agree.
Who do you have it on right now?
Chaz.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you even have Chaz now.
New friend.
Okay, yeah, let's go to our teams because we've both already made transfers, which is the first pod in maybe history that we've both made transfers by the time we pod on Monday.
Yeah, so my two frees, I did Coutinho and Lukaku out for Alexis and Chazzy Baby. That's it.
Tidy.
I've succumbed. I've got Alexis. I have Alexis vice right now, so I'm gonna have to see. I just don't like captaining a player against Palace because of the things.
Yeah, it just makes you feel bad.
I hate rooting against Palace for the FPL, but I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm still not sure.
You'll have to figure it out. But the main thing that you are flirting with is Kane or not to Kane. It's basically Kane versus Alexis.
Yeah, it was exactly that.
So what made you go Alexis?
I just think that Alexis is better and the team is more proven, and I've really been put off by Kane's form. The brace that he had against West Ham was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. He's been very reliant on pens for return so far, and Spurs get a lot because they have a lot of possession. They get in the box a lot. They have a lot of tricky guys and wingers and such things like that, but I just don't love the idea of getting him in just because of the fixtures when I haven't really seen him play well or seen Spurs play well. They haven't scored more than two goals in a Premier League game in a long time. I mean, they just had their first loss, but they've looked very bad, and Pochettino has been playing a different team sheet every week in the league. think they've been having a very, very difficult time coping with Champions League. I think when you look at their last game against Chelsea, you see them come out of the blocks firing, but after 20 minutes, they lost steam, and the second half was all Chelsea. And they don't really have the second gear of ways to dominate teams if they're not playing, you know, the high intensity, seven guys, six guys pressing in the other team's half. And I think that they're going to dominate and should destroy these three teams in the next four game weeks, but I just feel like I could hopefully back myself enough to stop picking captain blanks, and I think Alexis has just as much upside as Kane. Also, the ownership played a factor, where I'm looking at Alexis is already in 20-some-odd percent, whereas Kane's going to be slowly approaching that number, and I just felt there was more potential to hurt than to gain. Also, I think Austin is just an incredible value for money. And
I was about to bring that up when you were finished. Yeah, I mean, Austin has just been, stats and returns wise, like as much as you could really ask for from a forward.
He should be priced at, you know, 9.
I mean, he should be 9.
His stats are out of control for someone who's sub 7. And I think that having him in place as that budget third mid to enable me to get Alexis, for example, is so much more attractive than getting a midfielder in the Austin price range and having Kane, for example. I think it just stabilizes the team a lot more. And again, also, Austin's ownership is very high, and it feels nice to cover myself there because I think he's going to very steadily tick over with pens in his locker and the fixtures that they have. Europa's done. He's been getting rested, and he's been playing pretty much a second team in Europe anyway. But yeah, I think
their fixtures are amazing.
So I think both of those things were very much factors.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you on all fronts. Yeah. I mean, Spurs, as you mentioned, like, yeah, they scored 3 against West Ham in that, like, weird-as-fuck game. But other than that, they've been pretty much 0-1 or 2 all season. So, I don't know. They're just not clicking. I hate a team that doesn't have any attacking subs at all. They have, like,
Every time they put a sub on, it's some 21-year-old or some shit.
Yeah, it's, like someone you've never heard of or someone that barely affects the game at all. And you just wish so badly they had, like, you know, like every other top team, had the quality to bring on someone and just change the game.
But one thing also, they have had Lamela out for a long time. I mean, if you're looking at Son off the bench, that's a thing.
That's a thing, yeah.
But every team gets injuries. They don't have a squad.
Yeah, they don't have a very deep squad. Jansen's just a nightmare.
Yeah, he's just bad.
Yeah.
But the one thing with my transfers that has been a disaster is I'm still sitting with Gundogan. I don't know.
And he's dropping like a stone.
He's dropping like a stone. I'm losing 0.1 every drop. I mean, I didn't buy him in at 5-4. I bought him. I have already lost 0.1 selling, and he's in a drop again this week. Hopefully he doesn't triple drop. If he only double drops, that'll be nice. But
I mean, he's already double dropped, and it's Monday. That's not good.
No. So I'm going to be losing value there, but I'm not taking a hit. I don't see anyone in price range that I like, and I'm also eyeing next week. I'm going to have enough to drop Fuchs down to like a 4-6, 4-8 defender, and then I could do Gundo to Siggy for a hit, possibly. Or I could save. We'll see.
Yep, that's a shout. Yeah.
What about you?
So I already made my transfer, as we mentioned. I did Coot down to Siggy. I mean, the most obvious move in the books. We talked about it in the midfield section, but it's just Siggy's just so nailed to be a constant over the next like 7 game weeks of returns, if not longer. It was there. It made money. It just makes so much sense to me. There's not much else to say about it. The only thing that I'm also looking at is I also still have Gundo. I only had 1 free, so for me it'd be a hit, but I'm looking at 2 hits. I'm looking at Gundo for a hit, which would be probably to Pedro, maybe Feo, but probably Pedro. And the other hit I'm looking at, because I have so much in the bank, is just Ozil straight to Alexis, which honestly sounds really good to me. It's enough with Ozil. I mean, like, I gave him a long-ass time this season.
You've had him for a long time.
Yeah, more than I would normally give him because of, I mean, he's been really good every year in the Prem, and his stats are deceivingly, I think, still really good, but it's like the Walcott thing we were talking about earlier. It's just, they're a different team with Alexis up top and not Giroud, and how many of Ozil's assists were like set pieces to Giroud or crosses to Giroud or just, you know, stuff like that.
And it's not only that, but also that Giroud is going to be the number one person that the defense doesn't have to mark on set pieces. So, I mean, even if Drew's not getting that goal, it's just another huge problem between both center backs and him. Now that he's out of the picture and you have a 5-foot midget, Alexis, instead, I mean...
Yeah, that's it's just big. A trickle-down effect.
Yeah, it's
like
a trickle-down effect. That's set a big, piece that's big.
Attacking. So that's huge. And then the other huge thing is that, like, he only has 2 assists, but he's creating a ton of chances. But the truth is most of those fall to Alexis. So Alexis is just going to – I'm always in the side of Alexis over Ozil every season I've done FPL. But now it's just so much more profound with Alexis up top that not only is he going to outscore Ozil in terms of goals, but he's going to, like – neuter Ozil's assist because most of them will be 2 Alexis anyway. So it just feels like awful, honestly, to have Ozil.
You're pigeonholed. I mean, having Walcott over Ozil is the kind of thing where at least you feel that Walcott's going to get goals.
And you're saving 2 million. So it's this is okay. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Ozil's like one of the highest mids in the game. And with Alexis up top, that's just, he's not really an option.
I mean, you're priced 9-6. He's got 3 goals, 2 assists through 13. That's not tenable.
No,
that's
horrible. He's been under the radar a fucking nightmare for me. Aside from his worldy goals that we knew were not real, and it turns out they're not real. I mean, he's still good, and I still like watching him and shit, but I think I should probably take that hit.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that it's the kind of thing that you need to be really sure that you want to put that fundage into Alexis, because then you're still going to be stuck in a low bracket for a Gundogan replacement, which is also extremely urgent.
It is extremely urgent. I do have Kolarov to make money, or Koscielny to make money.
So you could do a hit there to get
it. I mean, it sucks to plan all these hits. Yeah, no, it sucks. It's not a good sitch, but...
Because if you take 8 points, if you give 8 points back to the game to turn Gundogan and Alexis Gundogan and Ozil into Pedro and Alexis, I don't know if that's good.
It's really hard. It's a really tough decision I have to make. But as I mentioned earlier, like, I kind of feel like you're fucked if you don't have Alexis for the next like 10. Yeah. And he's going to be captained home Stoke. He might be captain at West Ham this week. He's going to be captain home West Brom. He's going to be captain home Palace. At Bournemouth, at Swansea, home Burnley, home Watford. Like,
yeah, you could captain him conceivably all of those games.
And
I didn't even look at that. Yeah. Because he's so good away.
He's so good away. He's a brace shout in all of those games. It just feels like I'd be missing out on probably the best player in FPL, or best value at least, if I don't bring him in now. Because if I don't bring him in now, I don't know when I'll ever be able to bring him in. He's so expensive. It's so hard to get to.
Yeah, that might be a good hit. I don't know. That's still a tough one.
Yeah, I still have a little bit of time to think about it, because neither are price rising or dropping, but that's what I'm thinking about.
Okay. No, I think that's definitely something to go deep into the tank and consider.
Yep. I think that's it, right?
Yeah, let's wrap it. That was a good pod.
Good pod. Check us out at fmlfpl.com. Follow on Twitter at fmlfpl. Email us, rate my teams and shit, fmlfpl@gmail.com. Join the league, like on Facebook, rate on iTunes. Cheers.